Paris, France. Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studio of EloquenceOnline.net in beautiful, sunny Chamber of Commerce State, New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. In a long, long walk, but a short flight on the Millennium Falcon out to Dr. Troy Hall. Hey, Dr. Troy, how are you, sir?
Hey, you know, for a beautiful day after the fall change, I mean, you know, I'm doing great. I mean, why wouldn't I be great? There's a lot to be, there's a lot of opportunities to count your blessings.
A lot to be thankful for. Show note, Troy and I will not be broadcasting next Friday. We will be huddled around our Amazon Prime accounts, no doubt doing major damage for the Christmas season. The name of the show is The Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand, like Amazon or NAFQ or South Carolina Federal Credit Union, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Officially now brought to you by XDI, X-Ray Delta India. .com. Please check out their website and the 2016 XDI Chili Challenge. It is now officially Red Hot Radio. But Troy, we've been red hot for a long time.
Can you ask me that one more time?
I said we've been red hot for a long time, haven't we?
I just had to hear you say that.
Red.
Man, when I'm listening to The Power of Performance, I just can't decide who's hotter, Jason or Troy.
You can't tell by the way I use my voice. I'm a woman, man. No time to talk. You need love.
I'm telling you, folks, check it out. Did a show earlier this week called Two Hot Chicks. And it's not what you're thinking. It is about the Chili Challenge. We're going to put that up next week since we're not going to be here. Okay, hey, folks, after the break, we've got Anthony Demingon. He is the Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer at NAFQ. We were so glad to get him. We've only got three or four shows left, Troy, and then it's Christmas time.
I know it's Christmas time, and you know what I said a little bit earlier when I was listening to Anthony chat a little bit and some of his phraseology, people are going to think we got Dan Berger on again.
It must be the telephone system at NAFQ. I'm sure they got a really good telephone. We can ask him.
You know what it is? Well, you know, like when people, it's kind of like when people have, a connection and they spend a relationship a lot of time together, then it's sort of like they sound like each other. They start to look like each other. But I just hope Anthony never looks like Dan Berger.
Oh, gosh, no. Dan wouldn't want that. Hey, folks, we've got him. His name is Anthony Demingon. He's going to be on Red Hot Radio right after this. Right. His musings from the CU suite are on my morning reading list nowadays. Hey, Anthony, how are you, sir?
Jason, I'm doing great, buddy. How are you?
Hey, it's good to have you on. Yeah. Well, you heard me talk a little about where you work and what you do, but tell us a bit about you and your career with credit unions up to this point.
Yeah, I'd love to say I was 7 years old and wrote on a piece of paper what I wanted to be. It was in credit unions, but it didn't really work out that way. It was back in 96. I was a reporter. I came down to D.C. and really with the intention of working on Capitol Hill. I'd worked there before for a great Republican Congressman, Bill Klinger. And I thought, well, I'll get a job at Congressional Federal Credit Union. That'll help me pay some bills while I look on the Hill. And boy, they knocked that out of me. Within the first week, they were training me about Mr. Filene and our nonprofit nature and members versus customers, and I was hooked. So I stayed there. Michael Ray trained me up on all the credit union stuff. Bob Hess is the CEO there now. Charlie Mallon is there now as the CEO. Great credit union. They really got me my credit union legs. Went to law school. Spent a few years wandering the wilderness of private law firms, and then I had a buddy who said, "Hey, Anthony, I know you're kind of a credit union guy. There's this company called NAFQ, and they have an opening in their compliance division, And that was about 12 years ago. So it's been a real blessing. It's a great group. We've got great members. We've got great colleagues. I've had a real good opportunity to learn from some credit union titans like Fred Becker and now Dan Berger. It's been a good ride. Very enjoyable.
Well, you know, it's really good, too, with people like you who are so schooled with credit unions to be able to bring that perspective, you know, not only to the job and to the advocacy aspect that we really rely on from NAFQ, you know, those of us as member credit unions, and by the way, proud to say we're a member credit union of NAFQ. And, you know, and so with that, you know, comes also the opportunity for those of us in the industry to kind of reach out a little bit more and kind of help encourage and train and mentor others, you know, kind of like the payback, like you were talking about. So I noticed that, you know, within your blog, you know, you are really out there. You got some good information. And when Dan Berger was on our show a few weeks ago, you know, he credited you, I think, with saying that you were one of the first credit union bloggers. So, you know, tell us a little bit about your blog and how you go about it and what you want to accomplish as a result of, you know, of having this written dialogue that you want to create with folks.
Sure, absolutely. I'm going to say probably 9 years ago, 8 years ago, I worked in NAFQ's compliance division, and it's a great spot. Brandy, who heads it up now, is doing a great job. And we did a monthly newsletter, which was great. We still do. But things started moving so fast and so quickly, sometimes by the time a month went by, things became dated. So we were looking around and saying, you know, we're doing all of this work day in and day out. Is there a way we can share information a little more quickly, a little more unofficially, just a little more casually? So we started first doing the compliance blog, and it was an idea of just kind of here's a thought of the day, here's something that's going on in the world, and we're going to, we're going to alert you to it. And it took off like a rocket ship. I think now that compliance blog, which I'm not even a part of it anymore, people smarter than me write it now, we're up to about 5,000 subscribers. And in an industry with about 6,000 credit unions, you know, I think they're doing a great job. When I became executive vice president at NAFQ, it took me like 15 minutes to realize that I had a lot to learn, and I'm kind of a big fan of lifelong learning. So I started a blog which was just simply designed to have a thought or two every week about leadership, about credit unions. And my goal with the blog, and I thought about this a lot, when I think the key to having a blog and having it be effective, there's a number of rules you really need to abide by. First of all, why I like it is it's called a permissive conversation. Nobody signs up for my blog unless they want to, unless they're interested in. So, you know, people choose to follow me, and you have to honor that trust. And so for that, I always say know who your audience is. And for me, this audience are credit union leaders who are trying to tweak things, trying to get things a little bit better. Honor them. Don't waste their time. Be consistent, you know, and stick to a schedule and consistently just let your personality in a professional way kind of flow through. And so what my goal there is just to simply chew on some ideas and start discussions about people, about credit unions, and how we can even take our industry to the next level. And it's been fantastic because I have had interactions now with credit union leaders from across the country, and every time I think I know something, somebody's there to remind me about a better idea and a better way to do things. And that give and take is just fantastic. It's just amazing how many good people we have in this industry. And so I'm just happy that, you know, my blog is just a part of it, and it generates good discussion. And that's, you know, you can't really ask for much more than that.
Well, I enjoy it. I enjoy it. I find that it's easy to read. I will admit right up front, the written word is not my strength. The spoken word is the God-given gift that I get to use to keep, you know, groceries on the table and stuff like that. But I've enjoyed it. I like sometimes how you completely jump out of the credit union marketplace. I enjoyed the one where you're talking about the Knights of Columbus. Just very, very cool. And I've made a commitment to do more reading this year. And so the blogs are a better alternative for me. I'm trying to read The Martian. I've had that for like a month, and I think I'm only on Soul 47, but I'm enjoying it. You talked about leadership a lot in your answer to Troy's question. I want to ask you about that because that is, I guess, maybe the key signature of our show is generational marketing. The key signature of your blog seems to be about leadership. I want to talk to you about the future of leadership in the credit union marketplace. And this goes back several years now. There was a young lady who tried to start one of these credit union news aggregation sites where you can go to a website and see all the credit union news that you need to see. And she had an online ribbon cutting. And I was just like, well, we already have this. We already have a lot of sites that do this. What's different about yours? Well, when it failed, when it was obvious that it wasn't going to continue, we had a conversation on the phone. And it wasn't curt or disrespectful, but I was asking her, I said, what made you think this was going to work? I mean, there was so many of them. And I'll never forget what she said to me. She said, well, Jason, you never even gave me credit for trying. And my thought was, well, trying is not the same as succeeding. I wanted to ask you about that because I think a lot of our younger credit union generation, and while I realize there's no logic in sweeping generalizations as I'm about to make one, want credit for intentions. Last week, Marshall Boutwell, the CEO of Peach State Federal Credit Union, we said, what would you tell young people in the credit union marketplace today that want to be leaders? And he said, two words, do something. Do we put too much emphasis on emotions and managing people's feelings when it comes to leadership? Am I wrong when I say that that younger generation sometimes wants that participation trophy and doesn't want us to ask them about results?
Yeah, I think it's I'm an attorney by training, so don't beat me up for this answer. But I think it depends. I think a lot of what you're saying is spot on in that at the end of the day, we're a not-for-profit business. Mm. And as a business, we've got to succeed. We've got to make money. We've got to put products and services out there that people want. Our marketing has to be effective. Our websites have to be efficient. We have to be able to tie in to what not just millennials want, but boomers and my parents' generation. It's not easy to succeed. There's a lot of good companies that fail. So it is results. And that's one of the things I have to tip my hat to Dan Berger. When Dan came in, you know, everyone's got their strengths and weaknesses as leaders. One of the things that Dan is always about is, hey, if it's not measured, right, then sometimes it just doesn't get tracked and it doesn't get pushed. When you have this idea about results and we're going to track results and A for effort, well, really it's A for results, that is a big, big component to success.
Yep.
And, you know, I was just reading an article about that today. A lot of successful people don't necessarily – they focus on the results they want to achieve – and they don't stop until they get that result. But let me take a step back. I do think that failure and trying things is an important component to success because you have that thing that you want, and sometimes you're going to fail, and you're going to put a good effort in, and that effort's going to tell you that, well, you know what, this was not the right way to go about it. Now, that
right.
can be a learning process, but it's got to be a combination where people – are encouraged to try new things, but at the end of the day, it is got to be the brass ring of success and doing something has to be the end goal. And let me just take a step back to the world of compliance. Sometimes compliance officers can kind of get into the binary, you ask me if we can do X to achieve Y and no, but they don't go back and say, is there another way that we can get to Y? And I think that's the key thing for any new generation entering the workforce, which is, hey, the boss asks you if we can do X to get to Y. Really, we just want to get to Y and come up with some ideas and brainstorm about how we can get there.
Well, you know, Anthony, one of the things that you said in that segment there was about in that conversation of trying, it's about trying for something new. And so here's the deal for me. It's that you can get a lot of credit for experimenting when you understand what you're experimenting to achieve. When you are simply doing the experiment for the sake of experiment, that's called mad scientistic stuff, and, you know, really why? You know, so if you think about the discussion that Jason had before, you know, the observation is that the individual thinks that they have an entitlement to being rewarded for trying. Well, that is very good, but we have to put trying in the perspective by which of what you were attempting to achieve. If you think that you're going to create a brand new three-layer cake and you're going to do it with chocolate and you're going to do it with wedding people on the top and you want credit for trying, well, that might be fine if the whole point was I'd never done one of those before and I want to make one. But if you are trying to make a mark in the world and you're trying to make your mark to be successful at something and you know full well that what you're doing isn't even up to par, I have to look at it and go, no, you don't get the privilege of entitlement. And so for me, when I speak to these young leaders, I explain to them very simply, it works like this, is that you're an active participant in leadership. And in a mentoring process, it is not up to the mentor to spoon feed you. It is up to the mentor to help provide you with the information that you need in order to be successful. And you have to take an active role in customizing. And what I want our leaders to do is I want our leaders to be tapping the other seasoned leaders on the shoulder saying, what can you teach me? Instead of sitting around with their arms crossed saying, nobody wants to teach me. Why doesn't somebody come show me?
And
that's kind of where I see it. So.
Well, that's why he has the PhD in global leadership. We're visiting with Anthony Demigon. I love talking about this stuff because, believe me, as a Generation Xer, I don't assume that I know everything about the other generations. It just happens to, historically, I'm placed right in the middle of all of them. And, of course, on this show, we talk about it a lot. When we get back from the break, Troy's going to have the first question, and we will do it all right after this. Gonna take it now. Going all in, gonna make it count. Won't look back, gonna set my eyes. There ain't no practice runs in life. Is right. This
Welcome
is not a
back,
test.
Folks.
This is the real thing. Go ahead, Troy.
It is. It is. Welcome back to the Power of Performance. This is the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you keep the audience wanting more? And so with that, I want more from Anthony. I want more. I want him to tell me that what I can expect being a member of NAFQ, what can I expect in 2016? I've got some good stuff up until now. But, hey, we talked about getting credit for just being up until now. So I want Anthony telling me, Anthony, I'm putting you on the spot, dude. What's next? What's happening in 2016?
It's a great question. I think in any business you want to try to, do better today than you did yesterday and do better tomorrow than you did today. We got a few things in the hopper. We hired a crackerjack director of education. He headed up compliance. And he headed up project management for a $1 billion credit union, sharp as a whip, names Devin Lyon. And he is going to turbocharge our education. And he really has done it systematically, taking a look at the different various areas that are problematic. And so he's going to focus our educational offerings in 10 different areas online. So this will be, we're going to just take that to a new level. We're also going to launch some free online training for our members for new employees. So, somebody comes in and maybe they were, worked at a grocery store before, they're fresh out of college, and they don't know what the credit union industry is, and they don't know their place and some of the basics. We're going to put together a suite of training that will be at no cost for our members to kind of, what do you do with them on the first day to kind of ease them in to our great industry and their role and how we help Americans. We're going to keep pushing the envelope and listening to our members. We are bringing in a lot of state charter credit unions right now. That being said, one thing is we're not going to change what we're doing. We're going to focus on the federal level. So those are just a couple of the things that we're going to have going on. We have a brand new relationship with a company called C-Bank, and we're going to expand that even more next year. And what they do is they provide a free access to policies and procedures for our members. And the feedback we've gotten so back from our members on that has been fantastic, but we're going to expand that even more in 2016. So that being said, we're a board-driven organization. We have a board of directors, and they set the strategy for us. They're wonderful men and women who lead credit unions across the United States. So So who knows? They may even have some more in store for us. They kind of give us the marching orders, and we knock down the walls they tell us to knock down.
That's awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, it's been a year, a great year for NAPQ on the Ascendancy. I love watching a brand evolve and succeed. But I wanted to ask you about some stuff when you're not necessarily working at the credit union. I know you're, in addition to being into leadership and compliance and stuff like that, you like technology. You've got 2 6-year-old twins. I wanted to ask you, as a consumer, which all credit union members are, do you have any favorite brands? Do you have any favorite brands or gadgets that you simply have to use every single day? And if something happened to them, they were broken, you would go replace them immediately. Favorite brands, favorite gadgets. We'd love to know.
You know, that's a great question. One of my favorite brands, and I don't know whether you guys have them in your area, is Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's is a grocery store, and they opened up a branch of their grocery store probably about 600 yards away from NAPQ's offices in Arlington, Virginia. And that store is a grocery store. They're smaller in footprint, so they're almost between the size of like a 7-Eleven and your classic grocery store.
Right.
But every one I've ever been in, the people that check out and the people that stock are unbelievably friendly. They are unbelievably outgoing. They don't tell you where something is. When you ask them something, they walk you to where it is. They know all of the different foods and items that they sell, so they will tell you about their favorite food that they've eaten. They have a very laid-back culture. They're all wearing Hawaiian shirts. There's artwork on the wall of the different folks. And, you know, you talk to them, and I've talked to some of the folks that they recruit. They look for certain people that like people. They recruit people that are problem solvers. They cross-train a great deal so everybody can open up a checkout lane if they need to. And it is an unbelievably consistent, awesome experience. Another one I'm going to say is Chick-fil-A. I've never been in a dirty Chick-fil-A. I've never been in a Chick-fil-A where they weren't friendly. I've never been in a Chick-fil-A where the food wasn't good, or actually I should say excellent. The customer service is phenomenal. I actually was on the road, and we got some chicken nuggets for the kids. And I sat in there, and I was talking to their staff, and they were so polite and so friendly. I walked up, I had about a 25-minute conversation about their training and what they expect. And day one, when people walk in, it is unbelievably how they just hold people's feet to the fire on excellence, friendliness, customer service, cleanliness, quality. And phenomenal. And I'll give you
Before you do, I want to say, and I know Troy's got the next question, but it's just funny, I didn't know you were going to say that. I'm looking at my credenza, and I've got 5 Chick-fil-A gift cards sitting over there. One of the broadcasts I do each week, and maybe my favorite one, is the Crosscast for Cross Lutheran Church and School. It's a K-8 middle school here in New Braunfels, Texas. They're coming back. The middle school is from Outdoor Ed today. They're stopping at Chick-fil-A to eat lunch as a middle school, but they donated 5 gift cards to our opening night broadcast of basketball. So I'm a huge Chick-fil-A fan.
Yeah, no, they seem to have it consistently done well, and they kind of came out of nowhere, and people are really responding well to their brand. The only one I was going to mention is it was about 7 in the morning, and I was down visiting some credit unions the other day, and this is kind of an example of brands that normally don't work. But one that worked that day, it was McDonald's. And I'm not a huge McDonald's guy. I mean, I know the food's consistent, and I like the Egg McMuffin. But I rolled up into this McDonald's drive-thru, and this super chipper, awesome voice greeted me. And he said, "Hey, good morning, sir. What can I make you for breakfast today?"
Wow.
And I had never heard that from a drive-thru. And it really changed the dynamic of the interaction. This guy was awesome. And I think the key to having a brand is taking that guy, who I think was outside of Houston, Texas, and making that your goal for every employee interaction. And McDonald's doesn't succeed there, and most places don't. But I tell you, Chick-fil-A and Trader Joe's, they do. That's what's hard, getting that experience to be unrelentlessly awesome every single time.
And what you've done here, Anthony, is you have very clearly articulated the difference between a holistic approach to a brand and a singular success of a brand. And the more holistic approach of the brand is when the culture of the organization, the culture of the individuals within that organization, can actually bring that brand to life in a way in which it's manifested in the experience that the consumer has when they interact with it. Because the brand is nothing more than a gut feeling that a person has when they have a connection. It's an emotional connection to the brand. And many times people think brand is color, they think it's the logo, they think it's the way stuff is positioned, but it's not. It's the behaviors of the individuals who represent the culture of the brand that actually make a difference. And so you gave credit to McDonald's when in fact it was the brand of the individual that you are really giving credit to, because that person exemplified for you the type of experience that you want to have when you come in contact with the exchange of consumable goods. So I think that's very valuable and helpful for people who are listening to be able to make those kinds of distinctions, because it will make a difference in how they are successful in delivering their brand. And I relate that to your brand. I mean, your brand is consistent within the culture of your organization. And I'm not saying that just because I know Deanne pretty well. I'm saying it because your performance shows that. The metrics show that. And so as a result, you get props for your brand for credit unions, and specifically in the area of education and advocacy. You know, in my book, it's because of multiple people who live and breathe it and make it come to life every single day. So thank you for that.
Thanks, Troy. Now, I will say this. We have really, sometimes trade associations, you know, there's a debate on whether you should be a trade association professional or should you be more aligned with your industry. And for me, it's never been a debate. You've got to be an industry person. By that, I mean at NAFCU, we hire credit union junkies. I mean, we drink the Kool-Aid around here. We love credit unions. And our VP of marketing, membership, people, people in our facilities, we love it. And we when a new member comes in, we send an email to the whole staff. It's we love our industry. We love what it does. And I think that kind of helps as well. It makes Dan's job probably easier when he doesn't have to convince people why we like credit unions. We love credit unions around here. And I tell you, my colleagues, it makes it so much easier to get that brand consistent when everyone's kind of locked in.
Well, let me ask you something real quick. We're not going to have time for the compliance question. I regret that. The question was, how do we make compliance sexy? I'm not sure we can make compliance, but if anybody can, you guys can. Before we let you go, when you're not at work, what are some things that you enjoy doing?
You know, I've got the twins, and just kind of watching them grow up. We do a lot of little traveling with them. We do a lot of hiking and stuff outdoors. But now watching them get into sports and get into Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, that for me is probably what takes up a lot of my free time. But and it's awesome. It's I wouldn't trade it for all the tea in China. Watching these Kate and Briggs grow up has been the joy of my life.
Awesome. Hey, listen, thank you so much for joining us. You are always welcome back on the show. I knew I should have made this for 45 minutes, but I was trying to stay within that 30-minute parameter. Folks, if you're listening to this show, you will lose the feed at the bottom of the hour, but you can hear it in its entirety in the archive. His name is Anthony Demingon from NAFCU. An absolute delight, sir. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, guys, thanks. It's been a pleasure. I love what you guys do. Thanks very much.
All right, man. You take care. Take care. Time for you. Oh, hold on.
So, Anthony, I want to say to you, when you go back to NAFCU, Anthony, when you go back, you tell Dan Berger, now together the two of you are now what I will be referring to as my D'Anthony.
D'Anthony.
I love it.
D'Anthony, awesome. All right, man. We'll talk to you very, very soon. We'll be right back, folks. Wrap it up. Troy. What a great interview. But, man, 30 minutes just flies by.
It really does fly by. But, once again, you know, just really love having great quality individuals on the
show. Me too.
Regardless
me
of what
too.
Industry, what industry they support. But, you know, Anthony is another representative of an individual, you know, very well qualified, very well schooled, very well liked, and a person who also is committed to the mentorship and the development and the succession of other people. And, you know, I really like it. And one of the things I really like about working, you know, with NAFTUs specifically, I will say from my perspective, you know, being in a credit union and needing them for help and support, is that I really believe that together they exemplify one of the comments that I put out into social media this past week, and that is they have effective leadership because their decision-making is based on what they know as a leader, not what not just what they think.
Exactly. And that is
not
all theory. It is a huge difference.
No.
Absolutely.
It is a
Absolutely.
Difference. So they go for what it is. They figure it out so that they know. It's not just their opinion. It's not just some harebrained idea. It is something that's been vetted, researched, something that can make a difference for, you know, what's happening. So that is really the key difference in effective leadership, is operating from what you know and not just from what you think.
Well, listen, folks, he's absolutely right. His name is Dr. Troy Hall. Next week, we will not be doing the Friday show, but I am going to be broadcasting a show called Two Hot Chicks. Don't worry. You can listen to it at work. It is family friendly. It is about the XDI Chili Challenge. We've had Kim on the show talking about the win and the trip to the international competition. But we are very, very pleased to have now as a sponsor XDI, celebrating 20 years of leaving their customers, who, by the way, are all credit unions, wanting more. They have Statement Solutions. They serve tons and tons of members all across the country. You're going to get to know them over the next few weeks as we round out the year. It is getting close to the end of our sixth year of broadcasting. We have certainly enjoyed it. And again, conference quality information without the expense report. I'm going to play the exit of the show, the familiar Warner Brothers exit to the show, but there's going to be an epilogue. After that, I'm going to come on and I'm going to read you two emails, one that I sent to a good buddy of mine named LaVetra Parker. She is at GTE Financial Federal Credit Union out in Tampa. And then her response to me, because her response to me created something here in the Eloquent Online Studio, Troy, that is very, very unique. It created dead silence. When I read this email from LaVetra, there was dead silence in the Eloquent Online Studio. But if you don't want to listen to that, you don't have to. It's going to be an epilogue after we play the exit. Before we get there, though, Troy, I want to wish you and your family a happy and blessed Thanksgiving. The same to Anthony and his. I told him in the pre-show, I only had one son. But I remember when he was little and I was doing the diapers and the feeding, I couldn't imagine somebody having two babies exactly the same age, exactly the same time, needing to be looked after. And of course, naturally, he talked about that as being, I'm sure he's very thankful. I know he's very thankful for his family, as you are for yours, as I am for mine. So I do want to wish you and Anthony, everybody in the audience, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. But I will tell you this, from your wife's perspective, she did think that she had two children at the same age, at the same time, at the
probably
same
still feels
level.
Like it.
Yep. Yep.
No, I want
still
a
does.
Lightsaber mm-hmm. for Christmas. I mean, it's she still has. We've been these crazy lightsaber battles all over the house this week.
All right.
Going through this. All right, brother. I know you got to go. Hey, everybody else. Like I said, if you want to, you can stick around after the break for a very quick epilogue. It's only going to take about a minute, and we'll do it all right after we say goodbye.
That's all, folks.
Email was sent by myself to LaVetra Parker at 11:57 a.m. November 18th, this past Wednesday. LaVetra, as you know, I am adopted, and my mother is French, Arlene Rita Duquette Dias. I know as outspoken Christians, there are some people we irritate with our beliefs. But with everything that is going on, anyone complain about Christians? ! We generally leave people alone, show mercy to sinners, and argue about which songs to sing on Sunday. Blessings on your midweek, JMD. 8 minutes later, Lavecchia responded, "Jason, hello. I didn't know that your mother was French. Typically, when something horrible like this happens, people look to us Christians, in quotations. I hear the Lord say that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That day is coming soon. I pray that those whose eyes are blind, that they will be open to the truth of the Lord Jesus. His sovereignty will reign over the earth. Christians aren't liked for who and what we stand for. We as Christians must stand boldly before the world as light and salt in this dark world. People get hostile towards us because they are in darkness, and darkness cannot stand the light. Continue to pray for this lost world, and the truth will be revealed to all before it's too late. Have a wonderful and blessed Thanksgiving. May God continue to bless you as He sees you, His beloved Son, whom He loves." Lavecchia J. Parker, Executive Assistant to the President and the Board, GT Financial, Federal Credit Union.